Sunday school class, if you would stand just for a moment, we're going to read the word of the Lord. Good to be in God's house. Actually, good to be part of God's house, because that's what we are. Amen. We're going to read Judges chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again. He revived, wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakor. You can give it your own pronunciation, which is in Lehi unto this day. You may be seated. We are in a series. We're talking about how God worked through the judges and what God did in that time. Israel was not necessarily very faithful, but God was always providing a deliverer whenever they needed. And this is another one of those cases. This morning's lesson is Samson's Cry, And the series is God, Our Judge and King. Amen. So Samson is a story that most people are familiar with. Even non-Christians know a little bit about Samson. The world has their Hercules, but we know that Samson was a real person. He lived in a real place at a real time, and that this is a true story. So it's very important that we learn how to relate to God, and we don't fall into the habit of Israel of going through the ups and downs because of our lack of communication with God, our lack of faith in God. Israel kind of made things hard for themselves when God was always there, but they were not always connected to Him. Time and again, we read stories of people possessing wondrous works of art or priceless treasures without even knowing it. I keep hoping that's going to happen to me, but archaeologists have found ancient writings in the land of Israel on stones that they used to build houses. When they built their homes, they did not realize that the cornerstone that they were using was once a part of an artifact commemorating the victory of a great king. The monarch was long gone. His kingdom had passed a long time ago, but the memory still lived on, waiting to be discovered. For generations, the stone failed to fulfill its intended purpose of proclaiming great victory. We don't want to be lying around like a stone, not fulfilling our purpose. Entire libraries of ancient writings remained hidden until modernization led to the building of a subway or some other project. Construction rather than archaeological excavation led some to find these most important finds. Many people trying to advance their civilization have found items incalculable value hidden beneath their feet. Beachcombers with metal detectors. Anyone here have a metal detector? Yeah, I had one. I tried to find the lot line. It didn't help. I had to pay for it and have someone else do it. They have also found wedding rings. You have to know how to tune it, and it's not as easy as it looks, at least not for me. And I didn't find any wedding rings or jewelry, and I didn't go to the beach with it either. But that's what a lot of people do to find those things, to find just little artifacts that somebody lost, that were buried, that were hidden. So many things in the life of a Christian can be lost or hidden over time. We read of important historical letters being found in antique desks. The first issue of Action Comics featuring Superman was found in the wall of a house. We read of an additional painting hidden under the canvas of another painting. That happens more often than you would think. These stories reveal that many people do not know what they truly possess. That's what we want to talk about, is being aware of what we possess in God. They fail to treasure the treasures that they have. What they view as no real prize transforms into a prized possession when they actually recognize its worth. In applying these situations, we must realize that we can be in that same situation with God. And sometimes it's necessary for us to cry out in the time of need. Everyone say, cry out. Often we remain silent. We often don't recognize what a great treasure, a great resource we have in our relationship with God. We have Almighty God to help us when we have no might. And we often fail to appreciate our need for Him. In our time of need, however, we must lift our voice and call on the Lord. Amen. Anybody here have a favorite superhero? It's all right to know what superheroes, honest it is. Who's got a favorite? Someone tell me who your favorite superhero is. Mighty Mouse? Iron Man. There you go. Yeah, the Hulk. Hulk, get mad. Amen. And sometimes we think and expect that God's going to come in like a superhero when we need him the most. And, of course, sometimes he does. This is what happened to Samson. He got into this situation where when he needed superhuman strength, he had it available to him. But for some reason, he didn't act very super much of the time. He holds a distinction among the numerous leaders in the book of Judges. Of all the judges, Samson alone received God's call before his birth. The man of God appeared to Samson's parents and told them of the amazing child who would soon enter their lives. He also gave them instructions for raising this special child. God's prenatal call of Samson has yet another level of uniqueness. Most barren women in the Bible cried out to the Lord. We can think of Hannah. When they could not conceive, however, Samson's mother did not. At least it's not recorded in the scripture. Because for some reason in Israel, they had failed God so frequently that God said, "Stop calling on me. I'm just not going to respond," in Judges 10. I guess I never really caught that before, but that actually happened. God said, "All right, stop it, because you don't have the relationship with me you should have, and you only call on me when you need me, so I'm not listening." He said that, and that lasted for a while. He told them he wouldn't be there for them. He said they should pray vain prayers by crying out to their false gods if they wanted to trust in them, in Judges 10. So by the time Samson's parents are expecting a child, they had either lost the ability or lost the knowledge or the will to call on God. There's no record of them crying out to God for a child. But the Lord came to them and said that he wanted to bring deliverance to Israel and that he was going to use this child to do so. He called Samson before birth and empowered him. But despite his unique calling and story, Samson still failed to always recognize his need for the Lord. I want to emphasize that word always. He took his anointing for granted. Perhaps God put Samson in some of the difficulties he went through to teach him a lesson. This strong man with weak resolve needed God, whether he realized it or not. Everyone said amen. Many depictions of Samson show him with bulging muscles and physique achievable only through intense daily workouts and an incredible diet. We don't know what he looked like. We don't know if he was tall or short. We don't know if he was athletic looking or if he was a muscle man. We don't know. These imaginings probably are far from the truth, but he probably was an average looking guy. Don't know. But when he needed God, when he allowed God to use him, he did wondrous things. It made me, when I preparing for this, I'm sorry, I know a little bit about superheroes. But if you've ever seen the story of Captain America, when I can't remember the guy's name, but anybody know Captain America's real name? Rogers? Steve? I know a pastor named Steve Rogers. I'm going to call him Captain America next time I see him. He's probably heard it before. Brother Rogers, if you're watching. Anyway, to begin with, he was this like spindly little wimpy guy that was afraid of being carried away by the wind. And then when he got into a government program to make super soldiers, they bulked them all up, and he turned into this super athletic hero. That's kind of what the Holy Ghost does for the average person. Amen. This account offers another insight into Samson's uniqueness. Several times in the book of Judges, the Bible speaks of the Spirit of the Lord coming upon judges to deliver God's people. However, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily, or rushed, on Samson. That's what the word actually means. It rushed on Samson to empower him. It came upon him suddenly. This phrase also described how the Spirit of the Lord moved on King Saul and David. And all three of these men felt a mighty rushing wind of God's Holy Spirit. Given the lion's speed and might, Samson might have had little time to react, but when he was attacked by a lion, the Lord protected him and supercharged him when he needed it the most. While this exploit revealed the power of the Spirit coursing through Samson's ordinary-looking body, this situation may also explain Samson's mindset as we read of his continuing adventures, or maybe I should say misadventures. Samson's easy access to God's anointing may have caused him to take the Lord for granted. I'm going to let that one sink in. Praise God. I remember hearing, I don't remember who it was that preached, probably, I think it was Jack Cunningham. He said that he went to a conference where there were a lot of other organizations present, and they all had their best preachers up there, their best speakers, and one really well-known preacher from another organization came up to him and told him, "I don't know what it is about you UPCI preachers, but if you only realize what you have some of the best preachers in the world, and you have so many of them. If you guys would just figure out what it is you have, you could change the world." Think about that. Now, that was a preacher's conference. But here's the thing. Every child of God that's been born again, that's been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, has that same power and anointing. If we would only, and I say we, if we would only let God work through us the way he wants to, how much of a difference would we make? Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands, please, just for a moment. Praise God. That's so I can respond to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. If Samson could defeat a lion without much of a thought, he might become thoughtless and careless in his relationship with God. Too often after God delivers us, he gives us a great blessing, a great anointing. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. We kind of cruise downhill. We find a road that doesn't require much and just coast. When really, God wants us to be climbing the next mountain. Neglecting his relationship with God, Samson focused on his burgeoning relationship with a Philistine woman who he wanted to marry. When the days of their wedding feast began, he felt the stares of the Philistines who saw him as an interloping Israelite. Samson prepared to one-up all of his enemies by showing them his superiority. He challenged the Philistines to a contest of wits and presented a riddle to them. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. Judges 14:14. He then gave the Philistine 7 days to solve the riddle. After a week, they could not solve this puzzle. So they threatened to burn Samson's fiance and her father's house if she did not help them solve the riddle. The unhappy bride-to-be accused Samson of hating her because he did not tell her the answer. And Samson, by the way, kept many secrets. While others may have bragged, Samson did not even tell his parents about slaying the lion. He told his fiance that he had not shared the answer with his own people. Nevertheless, she pleaded and begged and coaxed and cajoled him into providing the answer. And then she informed on him to the Philistines to save herself from their treachery. They solved the riddle just before the deadline. They said, "What is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion?" In Judges 14:18. The wedding feast was ruined. Samson owed his enemies the reward for their answer. But once again, the Spirit of the Lord provided Samson with strength. He killed 30 Philistines to provide the garments for his unfairly lost wager. Now, I had to stop when I was preparing this. It's just hard for me to reconcile some of the things that Samson did under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I came to this conclusion that his call was, his purpose was to deliver Israel from the Philistines. That's why God had anointed him. But he was not attentive to that purpose. So the things that he got involved in, he kind of forced God's hand, and God had to take those unrighteous behaviors and use them to accomplish his purpose through the man that he had called. Now, Samson suffered a lot, and he went through a lot of difficult situations. And I kind of think that if he had focused on the call of God, that it wouldn't have been so hard. The Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Sometimes we get ourselves into situations that we don't have to be in if only we would be attentive to the call of God on our lives and we could accomplish the purpose that he set us to accomplish. I praise God. I feel this is a lesson. I know it's prepared ahead of time and we are following in order here, but I feel the Holy Ghost in this lesson this morning that there are some of us here that are not fulfilling the call and purpose of God. In life, we often find ourselves in seemingly unfair situations. We might even feel so angry we wish we could teach people who hurt us a lesson or two. We'd like to get even, you know, the old saying, you know. Never mind. We must quell these desires for vengeance and instead trust in the Lord. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. That's the difference of a Christian and someone in the world. We don't get to pursue revenge. It's not our right. It's not our privilege. As a matter of fact, it's a violation of our walk with God to pursue vengeance or revenge, no matter how justified we are. While the Lord does not empower us to defeat our enemies through physical force like Samson did, we still have authority over our foes. Through prayer and fasting, we're empowered by God to emerge victorious from every difficult situation. By the word of God, we discover the power of trusting in the Lord. No matter how bleak the situation, God has the power to deliver us, even when we're overpowered. God has an answer for every situation. It may not be the one we want, the one we seek, but God always has an answer. When our enemies threaten us, God can save us. We can cry out to God because of our unjust treatment, but we must also call on the Lord to change our attitude and to help us. Many people in this world use social media to vent and voice their complaints. Nobody here, I'm sure. The air gets real thin when you start talking about social media for some reason. Hard to breathe. All this oxygen goes out of the place. Some people use social media to complain of injustice and how terrible people are behaving. They might even be right sometimes. But even if they are right, that's not really the place to do that. Social media has very little power to truly change your situation. And oftentimes by complaining in social media, we make the problem worse, where we hurt other people. I said we hurt other people. In a world where easy answers seem to be at our fingertips, oh, by the way, if anyone wished me happy birthday on Facebook, thank you. I haven't been there yet, but I know it's there. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. I really do. I just don't get to Facebook very often. In a world where easy answers seem to be at our fingertips on a phone or computer keyboard, We must recognize our need for the Lord and rely on Him. Praise God. It's always best to stay in connection with God on a regular basis. Just think, if Samson had stayed close to God all along, what a difference he would have made. Samson still needed God. He consistently found himself needing God's help. The Philistines lived near Israel's coast and kept encroaching on their land. Samson treated them as friends and foes. We call them frenemies now, today. He often found himself in conflict with them. Samson left his wedding feast, and his bride's father gave his daughter to the best man because he thought Samson hated her. When Samson returned, his would-be father-in-law offered him the younger, prettier daughter, but he refused. He felt spurned and sought to revenge himself on the Philistines for ruining his marriage. Again, this is one of those things I believe that it was being used by God, but it's like doing the right thing in the wrong way. He tied torches to the tails of 300 foxes. He tied their tails together, set their tails on fire, and let them loose in the fields. That's just a terrible thing. It's just awful to even read about it. But somehow, God was trying to deliver Israel, and Samson was doing the right thing in the wrong way. When we try and do things our own way, and we're not led by the Holy Ghost, that's the kind of thing we get into. Well, hopefully you're not lighting foxes' tails on fires, but you know what I mean. When the Philistines identified Samson as the one who destroyed their crops, they returned to his former fiancé's house and burned it to the ground, killing the woman he loved and her father. Samson's fiancé tried to avoid the Philistines' wrath by giving in to their demands. In the end, they still acted heinously and murdered her and her father. It never pays to make a deal with the world. And even more enraged, Samson vowed to avenge the fiery deaths of his fiancée and her father. Samson struck the Philistines down, the Bible says, hip and thigh with a great slaughter, meaning he attacked them mercilessly and struck great blows. The Philistines showed no mercy to the innocent, and Samson granted them no mercy, no grace, or no leniency in return. Feeling like a superhero who avenged the death of his loved one, Samson believed he had no reason to continue fighting. He was done, he thought. He made his way to the cleft of the rock at Etam. His surviving Philistine enemies knew they were far from danger. They raided Lehi, telling the men of Judah that they had come to bind Samson. 3,000 men of Judah then went to find Samson in the cleft. They told him they came to bind him and hand him over to the Philistines. 3,000 men come to Samson, this great man of power. That was his opportunity, I think, to be the leader that God wanted him to be. Sometimes when we think we're done and we're presented with an opportunity, he had an opportunity here to turn the tables and become the leader of these 3,000 and bring deliverance to Israel the right way. But instead, he was in opposition to his own people because of the behavior that he had exhibited over the time of his life. It's always better to be part of the family of God. Praise God. When the Philistines, it was a bold move. Samson could have mockingly asked these 3,000 men, "You think you're going to take me? You and what army?" Instead, he agreed to go with them as long as they promised not to kill him themselves. When the Philistines approached the bound Samson, the Spirit of the Lord again came upon him. Samson felt like a human torch as his arms became like flax caught fire, melting the bonds off his hands. Though Samson usually fought barehanded, this time he found an unconventional weapon, the jawbone of a donkey. This mirrored the unusual fighting strategies that God had used in the past for other judges. See, God is not limited by our conventional methods or by our conventional thought processes. He can use anything or anyone, even us. Samson killed 1,000 enemies with a donkey's jawbone. Despite such a fantastic victory, Samson soon discovered he still needed God. After the battle, he feared he would die of intense thirst. And again, Samson cried out. He cried out to the Lord, something that Israel had forgotten how to do it. For all of his flaws and all of his weaknesses, Samson learned this one thing, how to cry out to God. Cried out to God, asking the Almighty why he would allow him to die after such a great victory. God provided Samson with a much-needed water from the spring. This refreshing place became known as Enhakor, the spring of the caller. Although Samson's parents did not cry out to the Lord for a child, because the Lord had refused to hear Israel's cries, Samson restored that cry of God to Israel. We all know how Samson's life ended. He was betrayed by Delilah. He was taken prisoner and blinded. But we all also know that one last time, he finally accomplished the beginning. The Bible says he began the beginning of the deliverance of Israel. He didn't complete it. He didn't fulfill the whole call, but he at least began the process that eventually brought deliverance to Israel. One last time, they're bound. He cried out to God as they released him to mock him, and he tore down the pillars, and the building collapsed and killed. The Bible says he killed more Philistines in that one act than he had in his whole lifetime. Because he cried out to God. This is what he was always meant to do, was to begin the deliverance of Israel. We may feel burnout or thirst. We may desire rest like Samson did. We must call on the Lord. The Bible says to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Praise God. Keep teaching that Bible study. Keep witnessing to people at work. Keep praying for your lost loved ones. Keep calling on people who need a hand. Praise God. Keep doing what God has put in front of you, because if we will cry out to God, he will answer. Other times we fail to call on the Lord because we feel weak and lack the faith that God will answer. Sometimes we feel shame for sin. But we have an answer for that as well. It's called repentance. Knowing we have neglected God, sometimes we believe we have no right to receive his mercy. But even if we have a little faith, Jesus said, even the faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, we still must cry out to God. He will strengthen our faith. If we feel shame, we must cry out in repentance. If we have not served the Lord as we should, we still come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace to find help in time of need. No matter our situation, we can always call on the Lord. Paul said in Acts 17 that he is not far from any one of us if only we'll reach out to him. Praise God. Somebody here this morning needs to reach out to God. Somebody here this morning needs to reclaim the call of God. He has never removed it. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Hallelujah. Please lift your hands again. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Praise God. Joe was having lots of difficulties in life. His work situation strained him so much that remaining in his position at work seemed impossible. His relationships with family members felt fractured. No matter how hard he tried, it seemed he just could not bridge the gap. He found a little time for church, but he felt angry, frustrated, and at the end of his rope. In his desperation, he asked his pastor over for a cup of coffee in hope that the man of God would give him some words of advice. He greeted his pastor at the door and offered him a seat on a couch, and he began to share the details of his difficult situation. But when they sat on the couch, the couch shifted. "Sorry, Pastor," Joe said. "The leg on this old couch is broke. I put a book under there to fix it." As both men rose, the pastor eyed the broken couch, and they saw the book that was propping it up. And the pastor said, "Joe, I think I know what your problem is." Joe felt elated. He said, "That's wonderful. Pastor, I knew you'd have an answer. What is it?" The pastor reached down and pulled the book out from under the couch. And of course, it was a Bible. He wiped off the dust and said, so that you could see the title, Holy Bible, in gold letters, "Joe, you've been using the Bible to support your couch, but you haven't allowed the Bible to support you. This is a strong foundation, but only if you read it. You're struggling because you have not used the Bible for its intended purpose, and it has cost you dearly." Suddenly, Joe realized the answers to all his problems had been right next to his feet when he sat on the couch. The Word of God stated that Jesus had put all things under his feet. Joe, however, had not trusted in the power of God. Like Samson, he chose to use the promises of God for something less than their intended purposes. While Samson found victory and thirst-quenching salvation in an unconventional way, he never fully embraced the call of God for his life. And Joe was in the same state. He used the Bible for a temporary and unconventional fix. In doing so, he turned one of the greatest forces for good into a prop for his own life. Recognizing his foolish mistake, he asked the pastor to pray with him before he left. After the pastor left, Joe dusted off the Bible and began to read. He recognized that God had used the situation to show him he needed the Lord, he needed to cry out and meet with God above all else. Let's stand. Whenever we, at least for myself, we prepare these lessons, many of you have taught from teachers' manuals, from Sunday school quarterlies, and you know what it's like to try and craft a lesson out of something that's already prepared. So when I get up here with a lesson like this, I do my best to make it meaningful. But I'm going to just stress that this morning there was something in the Holy Ghost. I hope whoever it is that needed to hear that word is responding to it now. The Holy Ghost was reaching for I think more than one person, but please don't brush it aside. Don't let it go. If you felt what I'm talking about, if you felt that conviction, if you felt that stirring in the Spirit, please don't let that go. Grab a hold of that. Get a hold of what God wants for you. God wants to do great things in our lives. He wants to do great things in this community. He wants to do great things in this country. And it will only be when the Holy Ghost filled Jesus name Pentecostals do what he calls on them to do. Praise God. We are this world's only hope. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, my God, my King, my Savior, Lord, I want to be able to respond to your word appropriately. I want to surrender the things in my life that are out of your will. I want to surrender my heart and my mind to your will and your purpose in my life. Cleanse us, O God. Renew us in your Holy Spirit. Refresh our vision. Refresh the anointing, O God, that we can do mighty works for you. We cry out now in the name of Jesus Christ for your purpose and your will to be accomplished in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Everyone lift your hands and say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good. If you have children, take this time to, you're a few minutes ahead of time, not too much, to go pick them up from Sunday school. Otherwise, we have about 16 or 17 minutes. Actually, that clock's a little fast, closer to 20 minutes to get ready for the next service at 11 o'clock. God bless you in Jesus' name.